Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank Tim Weisberg. You know, it's donut, National Donut Day, but he did better. Brought scrambled eggs, bacon, home fries, all of that. And I'm sure he's making my espresso right now. Tim's a great, I'm telling you, this place, certainly me, would fall apart if it wasn't for Tim. I know you guys don't always agree with his politics, but he's a hell of a human being. He really is. Another hell of a human being, Lenny Mills Jr. Good morning, Lenny. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris, and good morning, South Coast Now.
Back from the Cayman Islands. I guess that's old news now.
Yeah, it's old news. It's more old news than many head to the airport.
But here you are, and you do have, well, you brought gifts. I love that. Never comes empty-handed, Lenny Mills. What did you bring me, Lenny?
Yeah, I brought you this shirt from your new friend.
Yes.
From country music, Paul Overstreet. I brought you one of his signature shirts that are very popular.
Those are beautiful.
Yep, Sunsets and Songs, which he started during COVID out in the Cayman Islands. He was playing for free, putting it out in the air there, and consequently has traveled around the Caribbean. I've been out there a few of the islands with him, like Isla Morales in Mexico, and this is the theme shirt. So
it's a beautiful shirt.
It's
people can find him on Overstreet, pauloverstreet.com.
Yeah, beautiful shirts.
He's got a beautiful website, too. You can get all kinds of cool gear there for Paul Overstreet. And he is becoming a rapidly close friend like yours.
Yeah.
No, I find him very interesting.
You can't help but like him, right?
No, he's really amazing.
Gentleman. Yeah, he's down to earth. You'd never know who he was if
right.
you didn't, you know, Google him.
Kind of like you, Lenny Mills.
I don't know about that.
So, you guys had a big narcotics bust, which is not normal in Rehoboth. You don't think of Rehoboth, but it's like any town. There are drugs, there are crime, but your police department is on top of it. That was clear. You can read all about it at WBSM.com. Talk about the latest development, positive development in that case.
Yeah, the latest development is I received a call this morning from the chief of police, and the prime suspect, O'Brien, has been apprehended in Providence, so he's now in custody. So that's good news. It's always good news when we're doing things like that, and we're proud of the work we're doing in Rehoboth.
Yep.
And like I always say, Rehoboth never sleeps. It sounds like a
certainly with all that cocaine they had, it's hard to sleep.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things going on. It takes a long time to lead up to things, and you need a lot of evidence, and you know, have to go to court, and there's a lot to it, and you can't say much now because it's now going to have to do its thing. And I don't know a lot of the intricacies for obvious reasons. You know, I'm only the liaison. But, we're proud of Rehoboth PD and the great job they do. And we're thankful for all the communities that have helped us out, you know. And we got a lot of help with that, you know. Of course, we have the canine program, you know, in Rehoboth.
Yes.
And they train there. Dave Aguiar, the canine
instructor
under the supervision of the chief of police, allows all the communities, including Rhode Island, to train. We set aside our old town hall building. That's a training center. So they come in there with the canines, and they do a lot of work there. And so we have a lot of mutual aid and relationships with all different communities.
It's really important to network with law enforcement, different departments. And training is so important.
Yeah, it's important for a lot of reasons, least of which is financially, you know, because a lot of times it saves like a community like us to have to expand on either, you know, either more personnel or more equipment or even more dogs, right?
So right.
When you can call in, or we call in, we assist. We even assist, you know, in other branches of the government. You know, like I know the canine is called up at the Boston Marathon. Dave, our Rehoboth guy, he works out there. So there's a lot of different things, and they help us a lot, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, this was a good joint effort in Rehoboth, the help we got on this. And we took some real bad stuff off the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's the cornucopia of different illegal drugs that they had at that household, allegedly. I mean, they're all in evidence now. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But it was spectacular how much there was there.
Right, yeah. And so you might look at it, it's a sleepy town, and you know, joke when I say Rehoboth doesn't sleep. But you know, we're challenged with a lot of things. I think because it has the perception, these small communities, and Rehoboth isn't unique, any small community like that. The problem is people think they can come in and take advantage of it. They think it is sleepy.
Yes.
They think the leaders in the community aren't paying attention. They think that the police force is laid back and not, you know, complacent and wanting to indulge in any type of activity other than drive around in cruises and stuff. But
right.
That's really not the case. We have
certainly
a really
not.
Active force. Yeah, I mean, We really work really hard to have a good relationship with the neighbors, a good relationship with the citizens of Rehoboth, but we take great pride in being very alert
yes.
and observing what goes on in our community.
Public safety, very important, and you had it on display bigly out in Rehoboth. The town meeting, you guys had to move forward with your zoning. It's been kind of controversial. The state is imposing it on you. It's the law. We all like to fantasize that we can break the law and be outlaws and stand our ground and things like that, which as an individual, you might be able to. But a community within a commonwealth has to follow state law.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's an old saying that I use now and then, you know, a good man is an old saying. A good man knows his limitations. Yeah. And man being plural, man, woman. You know, we're at our limitations. When it first was brought out to us, we resisted. We dragged our feet. We had a lot of time. We took every single day, every single week, month. It's been going on about 18 months, you know, in Rehoboth, taking our time. But we finally got to the point where it's affecting us with grants. And there were, I think, six municipalities named in a lawsuit last mm-hmm. month. And they Rehoboth and one of them was held out because we were having a town meeting with this vote on it.
Yep.
So the day of our town meeting this week, our town council did tell the citizens that he talked to the attorney general that morning, and at the end of the conversation it was said that give us a call and let me know tomorrow how the vote went in Rehoboth, because you know next move is for us to go be named in the lawsuit.
Right.
So unfortunately, as much as we don't want it and I didn't want it and everything, I wanted to, you know, make a presentation to my town with the facts, not innuendos. Mm-hmm. I begged the town when I first went up there and spoke to not get into the emotion. Don't let the emotion take over. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this. Is to think about it, you know, logically, and try to really decide at the end of the day when we leave this town meeting, what is the best decision for Rehoboth. And we had almost 2 hours of discussion on it.
Okay.
And the first vote was overwhelmingly, 6-8 months ago, 100-something votes shooting it down. And this time, the vote was, I think, 191 to 80, 81 or 82. So
right.
It went through. And like I said during my talk to the people, at the end of the day also, remember, no one's going to win here today. None of us. It's just degrees right. of losing. So we made the decision, and so we move forward, and we'll see where it's going to lead us.
They're complying with the MBTA zoning district, which how will that... So first of all, you obviously were really involved in this. You're also on the planning board as well as the board of selectmen. How will the MBTA zoning changes that you had to make in Rehoboth under the law impact the community?
Yeah, so we'll put it in perspective. Okay. The area that the town voted for is on Route 6, almost diagonally across from, say, the JJ Materials building.
Oh, yeah.
That building that's all over there by site. The building's owned by a citizen in town, but it's now the company is owned by Site One. So it's over there. It's 20 acres. There's two owners.
Okay.
One's a farmer, Eddie Almeida, who has been in farming all his life. They control hundreds and hundreds of acres and haven't sold land in I can't tell you how long.
Okay.
And the other one is owned by the Foley family.
Okay.
So there's broken up like 11 acres by one owner, 9 by the other. And the maximum with the 15-unit, you know, we up to 15-unit requirement can go over, there's like 220 units, let's say.
Okay.
But the practicality of building 220 units is between slim and none. It would be a lot less. So something can be built,
okay,
but you're not going to see that number. That's the maximum number. Keep in mind, the land is limited in a lot of ways with water and wetlands, things like that. So in order to put a septic system in for community septic system, things like that, it's going to restrict it. So
yes.
Not to get too technical with the audience, I don't think you're going to see a lot of units there, if in fact they're ever built.
Right.
But yeah, and you have at least one owner there that hasn't shown any sign of selling land in 3 generations now. So
right.
And there's very, very successful farmers.
Yes.
Very successful. Very rare thing, not only in Massachusetts, but very rare in the Northeast. And I will tell you that we're very proud of the Almeida family. Mm-hmm. And I went to school with Eddie Almeida. Him and I went to school.
Okay.
And, you know, they're fine people. They're great for the community. They have cows, and they mostly are vegetable farmers. But they're real farmers. They have no interest in selling dirt.
So I'm reading between the lines here, and I don't think Rehoboth has anything to worry about. They complied with the law. So the money from the state can flow in. You won't have to pay legal fees to fight our own state government, Dharma's own attorney general. And probably the character of the community will not be altered at all, really.
Yeah, it seems like that. Now remember, you could come forward with more areas. Mm-hmm. We have no appetite for that at all, okay, as leaders. You know? That doesn't mean that, you know, someone else may want to bring something forward. And I don't know of anything. I'm not trying to indicate that.
Right.
But, you know, in politics and in business, when you say something, things change, right?
Yeah.
So then everyone wants to say you may be lying or you misled them. But it's not really, because it's a moving picture, right?
Right.
Politics, business, life is a golden pitch. It's not a snapshot. So the snapshot now, the way it looks, is we complied. That's what it is. There was zero appetite to do it other than we were being, you know, our arms were being twisted.
Right.
Anything past that, I don't see the town wanting to do that. But we'll see what the future has in store for us, you know. I've been there 64 years, Chris. I don't think the people want another spot, but there is a lot. When I lived there and I grew up there, it was 2,500 people. Today we're 13,500 as of last month. So there's a lot of new people in the town. So we'll see what happens. Times are changing.
They are changing. But it's nice to hold on to some of the original characteristic of the town.
Yeah, and it was nice because the two-hour conversation, like the other ones before and the planning board meetings I sat in, it generates a lot of compassion and a lot of passion for the community, because people come up and they speak their opinions, and they're 180 across, and then some of them are united. So there's a lot of love for Rehoboth. There's a lot of appreciation for what it is, the beauty, and they want to keep a lot of things the same. Also keeping an eye on, we have to change too to keep up with the times.
Right. 508-996-0500. We'll have Lenny Mills here till the conclusion of the program. We'll be joined the next hour by former Sheriff of Bristol County, Tom Hodgson. We'll have a lot of fun. We usually do on Friday's mornings. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening, Mike?
How are you guys?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Lenny, how are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today? It's beautiful out there.
I'm doing great. I just wanted to let you know that I was in the company of a good friend of yours from Rehoboth yesterday.
Oh, really? You're going to share the
Mike
name?
Mike Parker. Marty Parker.
Oh, yeah. A lot of history. The Parkers have been in Rehoboth a long time. There's like...
Turn right onto Harvard Street.
Yeah.
He's...
I had, because of the job that I have to be certified CPR and first aid.
Yes, and that's the man.
And he came and teach the class.
Yeah. Marty Parker, great citizen. Rehoboth's dedicated many, many decades in Rehoboth, you know, with the rescue and the fire department.
Yeah.
Still does.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Right. And he has a lot of relatives out there, you know. He has a lot of roots, you know. There's like five families down that end of town that are all related, you know. And my girlfriend,
right,
Christine, is related to at least five of them out there. So I have to be careful.
Yeah.
I have differences of opinion, you know, personally and politically.
That's pretty much all I had to contribute to the show today.
Yeah,
I told him that I would come on today with you and give him a shout out. So
and by the way, his daughter's following in his footsteps. She's works in there. Yeah, and his, of course, his family before.
He's been serving the town for what, like 26 years?
Oh yeah, I think longer than that, in different capacities. You know what I'm saying? Between fire and then the ambulance things, and he's just a great community guy. I mean, we're very proud to have him in the town, and he's a go-to guy for someone like myself
who
has to have, you know, lead the town. And I have real questions of what's going on through the years and what's the travel of the case? Why are we here?
Right.
He can really shine some light into what's going on for me.
Right. Well, gentlemen, listen, you have a great Friday. Enjoy the weather, and Enjoy lunch.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks, Mike Lima. Great guy. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back. Stick around. More with Lenny Mills and your calls. Whatever you want to talk about, I'd like to talk about. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Won't be long. Me and Barry Silver will be out there on the water. Maybe he'll have to change his name of his boat to the Anchorman. I don't know, though. That's another Paul Overstreet song. I'm really loving that song, Lenny Mills. It's a great tune.
Yeah, it's another great one from Paul, and he sure wrote a whole lot of them.
Right?
Too. Yeah. Yep, good song.
Lenny, in the first hour, I was talking about this video clip from this attack. Young man, he's an adult, all right? 21 years old. What were you doing at 21? You know, I know what I was doing. This young man was out jet skiing, and guy got annoyed, who lives on the pond, 70-year-old guy. Big guy. And the video, I don't have to say alleged, because I've seen the video. I can see him slapping this kid and then trying to hold him underwater anyway. Your thoughts on this, Lenny?
Yeah, it conjures up a lot of thoughts and feelings, you know?
Yeah.
I think that you have to be really, really careful when you're out in society, you know? Of course, I've been a martial arts instructor since I've been 18 years old, so I've always taught this. You never know what somebody's going through, what they're thinking. You don't know their degree of anger or what you drive on the side of a car and you get in a little beef with somebody. And next thing you know, we've heard about, they jump out.
Oh, yeah.
People have been stabbed, shot. It's crazy, crazy stuff. So we always teach in martial arts is to disarm, walk away. Better to be walk away, you know. But sometimes you can't. So we train, and there's a lot of reasons why we train. But at least the witches, we train in case we're forced that we can't.
Right.
Now, listen, I know older people, right? I'm not that far from 70. I'm 66. Mm-hmm. They get frustrated with youth and way people talk to them.
Yep.
That doesn't give you a right to put your hands on anybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a right to do that. On the other hand, my experiences in life, if I can just go down a dark road and stop at the minute I open the door, I've known some real, real dangerous people in my life, from construction to the fight business. There's some dangerous people. So I'm going to stop there and enlighten the audience. If you think back or look at any videos or YouTubes of Mike Tyson and George Foreman, who were professionals and were the top of their game, there was a time in their career when they fought, they wanted to hurt somebody, even kill them in the ring, in the professional ring.
Right.
So there's a lot of anger in a lot of people.
Yes.
You know? And so if you hit the perfect storm and you get someone like that, you're in big, big trouble because just because you can beat me up and I have to be kept, doesn't matter because the equalizer is a gun or a knife or, you know, I know of a lot of stories of revenge. You beat someone up and a week later they come back. Somebody comes back either in a different form of their family or their friends. So it's very, very, very important to disarm all the times. But it doesn't happen. And I will say that in my business and in businesses that I've been in, there are a lot of angry people out there. So, you know, I myself who can handle myself, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a tough guy or nothing.
Right.
I'll avoid a fight at almost any expense.
Yes.
But if you have to fight, you have to fight.
Right.
But to put your hands on somebody, you have no right to put your hands on anybody at any situation like that.
Right.
Yeah, you're the aggressor. Like I heard you say, you put it eloquently. You didn't have to go down that hill after that kid. You know, and just like the car, when the car pulls over on the side of me, if I'm angry, I got feelings of wanting to go out there and straighten this person out. The minute you step out of that car to go towards them, you're the aggressor, you know. So, yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation. And who knows? I mean, if that situation could have escalated, that kid, that young 21-year-old man could be dead today.
Yes.
Two lives are wrecked, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, so you don't know what's percolating inside of somebody. You don't know. They get in a moment, and it's dangerous. And again, I encourage anybody that really wants to study. You look at any YouTube and deep thoughts with Mike Tyson and George Foreman, when they were in those modes, those were real bad dudes. That's
right.
I know a lot of people like that
you
in my
do.
Business. Yes, sir. Unfortunately, there's a lot of angry, dangerous people walking the face of the earth. So you don't want to trigger them.
And you have no idea who some what someone is capable of doing.
No, you don't. And like I said,
or what they've done in the past.
Right, I mean, you could be you could beat the heck out of me, be so much more proficient at fighting, and right. But all I got to have is a, get a gun or come right. back, you know, 2 days later and stab you or shoot you.
Right.
Or have, you know, so it is dangerous out there.
Over
you know?
Nothing.
Yeah, don't.
Here's the thing. The kids were jet. They're not kids. They're young men. But they were jet skiing. That's what ponds are for. That's yeah. what lakes are for. Yeah. And if you have a house on a lake and you bother, or the ocean, and you're bothered by jet skis, you should move.
Right, right. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't be disrespectful to yeah. a senior citizen or someone, but it mean, all I'm trying to say is, you know, be careful out there. I know I'm careful.
Right.
I know one thing. I don't want my life to end that way.
No.
On either side of it. I just don't. I don't think that, but the good Lord has put me on this earth to end my life that way. However it's going to end, it's going to end.
Right.
If it's that way, I'm not going to be the aggressor.
Right, right. I mean, it is... There were so many other options. The gentleman even said, "Want me to call the cops?" That's what he should have done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the job. That's what right. the cops are. If we start running around, you know, trying to be vigilantes, taking law into our own hands, then we have a chaotic society. Who wants to live in that? We're not signed up for that.
No.
Yeah, no. You know, no. Third world nation, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
But then, listen, anger does a lot of things, because once you hurt somebody or kill them, you have to live with that the rest of your life. And right. I know some people don't have a conscience, you know, to a certain degree, but a lot of people do.
Most people do.
Yeah, because you see red and it happens. I mean, you don't, a lot of times, you know, people will get very, very angry, you know, and I've seen them get angry through the years, and they're not angry at the situation, but the anger comes out in the situation. There's right. things that's percolating inside them. That's what I'm trying to say to your audience, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there that are hurting. You know, for a lot of reasons, and they yep. have a lot of things that have led them to that. And I'm not justifying their behavior, but
no.
I understand where the anger comes from. I've seen it firsthand, and I can tell you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous when that perfect storm happens, and that's what I think happened here.
Yeah, it's really, and today's day and age, everything's on video.
Yeah, yeah. So I've trained fighters where they're professional and they go in and it's a sport. You respect the sport and that's where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also trained fighters where I've actually at some point have to decide I have to walk away from them because they really just want to hurt somebody.
Really?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And Mike Tyson was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And George Foreman will tell you he was another one. You know, when he made his comeback the second time, he talked about how he knew when people were in trouble and he could hurt them, he would back off. In the beginning of his career, he wouldn't. If you watch George Foreman when he was young and the world champion, okay. that was one bad dude. He hurt people
all
in
right.
that ring. He hit him when he hit Joe Frazier on the side when he was falling away from him. He did a lot of mean things. When you watched him the second time, he was a true professional. He respected the sport, and that's how he wanted to be. And he had turned his life around at that point.
Okay.
So to his credit, it reflected not only in his personal life, it respected in his professional life. And George Foreman, if you ever read his book, he has a book out there, God in My Corner by George Foreman.
Okay.
He'll attribute it all to what he believes is God, you know,
really?
Helping him turn his life. Yeah, he had a terrible upbringing and a lot of anger from it.
Yeah, you're right when you say it may not be the situation that you're provoking or you're involved in that got him so angry. It's other things. It may be childhood stuff, probably is. And they're so angry, but now they get the opportunity to hurt somebody, and you may be that person.
Right, yeah, and that's, I can't stress enough, and I think hopefully some of our audience is listening and understands what I'm trying to get on that love, that wave with. People are hurting, and they have a lot of anger, and they've had some real bad things done to them, and it's going to come out one way, shape, or form if mm-hmm. they don't work on it, and if you're in the perfect storm, you're going to be the brunt of it. So try to avoid as much as you can. You
right.
know? I've had a lot of people, you know, make a run at me and stuff like that, but talking respectful to them, you know, trying to yield to them.
Yep.
You know, not being rude, you know, not walk away like a coward and with your tail between your legs.
Right.
But you can walk away with dignity and
yeah.
pride. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do it. And training has taught us that. But it's just human behavior too. Try to improve ourselves as humans.
Right.
You know, just because somebody is yelling and screaming at you, you know, I went home last night and I was talking to my family. And I said, I feel like a punching bag today. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I had like 8 people yelling at me today, you know, between my business and mostly in the town and stuff. And I mean literally yelling,
right.
you know. And what am I going to scream back at them? So I used to when I was younger. I didn't know better. But
right.
yeah, and so again, you know, people have the anger that they're displaying in a lot of cases doesn't warrant the level of problem we have in front of us. So I understand there's more behind it. So your audience, I think some of them are picking up on that. And when you see somebody like that, when they're hot, they're red, whatever you want to call it, I think that's a good sign to stay away.
Yes.
Try to disarm the situation. Police officers have to do it
all the time.
That's what their training's all about. You wonder how they can have people say what they say, do the things they do to them physically, everything. They're trained for that. They take a tremendous amount of control. There's a lot of credit.
Yes.
And there's a lot to be learned from police officers, the way they get treated. And then once in a while, you know, it doesn't work and you have a perfect storm and it's on the 6 o'clock news tonight.
Right.
So yeah, that's what it's all about.
508-996-0500. Lenny, you were at the convention for the Republican Party as a delegate. You were naturally a delegate because you're a selectman as well and a member of the Republican Party. Big endorsement in the governor's race. So Brian Shortsleeve got on the ballot. He got the signatures. He got the minimum votes he needed at the convention. And Brian Shortsleeve is contesting for the governor's nomination. It was him and Mike Keneally and Mike Minogue. Now it's Mike Minogue and Brian Shortsleeve. But Mike Keneally has stepped in, a former Baker official, to endorse Mike Minogue. What does that tell you, Lenny Mills?
Well, it tells us that the natural process of what should happen, in the sense that, you know, Keneally knows, you know, he obviously didn't make the ticket. He has to make a choice. He has to make a choice what's best for him and what he thinks is for the party and ultimately what for the Commonwealth and how we're going to win. So that's a good thing to see. It's good to see that he made that decision. You might disagree whether he should be with one side or the other, but
right. That's,
you know, he picked Mike's side. But that's good because that's what the party should do, start to pull together.
Yes.
And as we get closer and closer, hopefully we do that, because we really have to stand united.
Yes.
And get somebody elected as governor. You know my choice, so does your audience, it's Mike.
Yeah.
However, we have to stick together and start getting, you know, it's not that far away. September's right around the corner, then 60 days later we're going to put somebody in there. So
is there anything wrong? So my feeling is primaries are good. They make all the candidates stronger. Not everybody agrees with that. And it also depends how people run their primaries. Are they making them nasty and personal? Which I really haven't seen in this race, any of that. So I think Brian Shortsleeve, who just put $600,000 more dollars into his personal, you know, from his personal account into his campaign account, he got the nomination. He got the number of delegates he needed to get on the ballot. And he's got the signatures. He's got the supporters. He's got the only one with a running mate. And why not continue for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, it's his right to do it.
Right.
And I haven't talked to him in a while. You know, he's a fine guy and a great candidate, like you have pointed out. And I agree, right, Chris? You think
absolutely.
He's a good, yeah. So, you know, without hearing his reasons, and I would always want to hear his reasons before I comment on it, he has every right to do that. And,
right.
And he may have a lot of good reasons why he wants to do it, including he thinks he's going to win.
Yes.
Right? You know, what do you think, Chris? I don't know.
When you hear them make the argument, you go, yeah, that's a good argument. You know, and you listen to one argument at a time. What Brian Shortsleeve and his running mate, Sean Oliver, we know Sean Oliver really well. Mm-hmm. We wish him the best. You voted for him at the convention.
Yes, I did.
I'll vote for him for lieutenant governor. He's on the ballot. Their argument is, and it's very sound, hey, the convention is one step, and we made that step, and they don't get to decide. The hundreds of thousands of people that are willing to pull the Republican ballot in September, they're the ultimate decider. And so let's leave it up for a broader audience to decide who should be the nominee.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And like you say, think about Sean, right? Because I'm for Sean.
Yes.
And I'll vote for Sean,
yes,
too. Again, I voted before. I'll vote again for him, Chris. However, we never thought that the other person running against him was not going to make the ticket,
right?
So things happen.
I mean,
that's what happens in the fight business. It happens in the construction business. It happens in politics. You know, who knows what's going to happen between now and then, you know? So the people should decide. Yeah, the people should decide. But I have confidence in the final analysis that the Republican committee will unite, you know,
right,
all together. and the party, and we will we stand united, and we're going to push really hard, you know, to get this done. And Brian Shortsleeve has every right to run his election however he wants. He doesn't need you know, people to tell him to get out and stuff like that. That's crazy. You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it just, to me, is, first of all, it's a waste of breath, right? Yeah, the man is a Marine Corps officer, Harvard graduate, successful businessman, made a plan years ago to run for this job. And now what? Because he had a setback? He's going to, what, just quit?
Yeah. Well,
that's ridiculous.
And by the way, you know, him being a Marine, he'd be the first one to tell you, and I'm here to tell you, setbacks aren't necessarily, you're not a failure when you get knocked down.
No.
You're only a failure if you don't get up. You know, and so guys like him have been knocked down a lot of times in their lives and got up, and that's why he is where he is today.
508-996-0500. Mac Auto Sales is a family-owned business that repairs all makes and models of automobiles, including the automobile that you're driving right now, if you give them the opportunity. Mac Auto Sales is located on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Make an appointment today, because we've got hot weather today, and it's only going to get hotter. Can your car withstand that without a checkup, a fluid change? I would say no. And you don't want to be out there today trying to replace an automobile, not with these prices. Make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You're driving a foreign car? Perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They do a great job with American as well. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more
Kitchells. Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Huge hit. Billy Currington, Georgia and Alabama. Another Paul Overstreet song. Of course, I have Lenny Mills here. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Beautiful day to enjoy the deck at Rose Alley. So, Lenny, we're talking about the convention and the election for governor. Now we see the Democrats are trying. And look, the job of the Democrat Party, which the Republican Party seemed not to have learned, is to recruit candidates, help those candidates to get elected. And the Democrat Party is seeing blood in the water because of the fraud, alleged fraud, around Ann Brensley with the people she used. She paid them. They were her partners at one point to try and get the signatures. They were committing fraud. That seems to be pretty obvious, although everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Ann Brensley has said, I'm not going to make the ballot. So now the Democrats, which is their job to do it, wish the Republicans acted a little more like this. They see an opening to contest the signatures for Mike Walsh for Attorney General, for Ann Manny Martin for Lieutenant Governor. They're not contesting Sean's, though. Sean has got his signatures, got his convention votes, and he's on the ballot. Seems the Democrats are leaving him alone.
Yeah, it does seem like they are. And look, let them contest it if they want to contest them. I mean, I talked to Mike Walsh the day of the deadline, and he was running around in the most respectful way, like a chicken with his head cut off. And that's how dedicated he was,
yes.
Chris, right? And we've met him, you and I. We've had lunch with him. He's come to Rehoboth to a fundraiser. And he's a hardworking guy. So
yes.
He's worked really hard to get him there. You know, his vote's there.
He's a brilliant guy, too.
He's brilliant. Yeah, he's brilliant.
Almost like...
And he's young.
Yes.
It's nice. He's young. Yeah, we get the future, right?
Yeah.
Nice to see that. And so here's a guy working really hard, and he's an honest guy. So he's going to turn him in, and you want to challenge him, you know, go ahead and challenge him.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of confidence in Mike, you know.
I hope that Mike makes the ballot, because I do believe this current attorney general deserves a challenge. And look, I think she would relish a challenge. To be honest with you, Andrea Campbell broke the cardinal rule of politics. It annoys me. You never hear them do it. But it annoys me when people do it. They ignore their opponent completely. Not Andrea Campbell. She literally, one of her few primetime spots, They get that South Boston Irish breakfast. She literally called Mike Walsh out by name on television. And that an incumbent never does that. So what I'm telling, my opinion is, Andrea Campbell wants to talk about her record, wants to talk about the future, wants to talk about why she's a better attorney general than Mike Walsh will be. I think she's relishing for the fight. So I hope Mike makes the ballot. I think she would like that challenge, and I think we as voters deserve it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I mean, it would be.
You were looking for a challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be a good dog fight to see that, you know. And yeah. I think it would be interesting. It'll be enlightening. We'll learn a lot, you know. And Mike's not going to, he's no withering flower. He's right. Not going to run away from any challenge or anything. He's a bright young guy. He wants to get up there. He can articulate the facts really, really well. He's a brilliant mind. And he's a common guy. He has a common touch, right? We've sat with him and we've talked with him, and he's the real deal. So the people will love him. So he needs yes. to, all he needs to do is get the exposure. It's just like a country music guy, right?
Yes.
When you start out, you just got to get him out there in front of the people, and then they fall in love with him, you know? And I mean, Mike is really talented.
He
is. They're going to be impressed what kind of candidate he is, and hopefully the next attorney general.
And it really cast a shadow over the whole Republican Party, really. You had this activist who was out getting paid to gather signatures, and allegedly there was all kinds of fraud involved, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about that in November.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear, you know. But I right now say, like, you're on the right wave to keep this thing moving forward, you know. Mm-hmm. We can't get bogged down with, you know, exactly what's going on there. I mean, we will eventually get to the bottom of it, but to keep our eye fixed on the goal is to get these people elected.
Right, you know? Get them elected. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back more with Lenny Mills. It'll be a short break. Stick around. Bush Jr. is here. Lenny, how you doing?
Good, buddy. I got one for you.
All
you
right.
know, we were talking earlier about the incident that happened at the pond, you know, the
yes.
older person, and how you never know what's going on in somebody's mind. But there's a YouTube out there. If you go look for it,
okay.
you dig deep enough, and you'll see Toby Keith on the stage. Now, Toby Keith is a big dude.
Yep.
He's no pushover, and he's a nice man. You know, I know he's passed away, but yep. I'm describing him. And there's a YouTube out there where someone in the audience went up on to the front of the stage, a guy, and threw a beer bottle at him.
Really?
Yes. And he did not stay on the stage. He left the stage. His bodyguards tried to stop him, and he got to the guy.
Yep.
And it's all out there in the audience. So here's your perfect storm. Now,
right.
there's a guy, a professional, doing his job, always in control, you know, and it just happened, right? So you never know.
You never know, right?
You never know. And sometimes they're as good as they once was.
508-996-0500. Look, personally, I'm looking forward to a good conversation with Tom Hodgson. He was at a fundraiser last night for the Republican Party. Charlie Baker was there. He'll be in the next hour. And there's this poll that Suffolk University did about the governor's race. There's a lot of important questions in the poll, and also about the U.S. Senate candidate, John Deaton. What surprised me is how low John Deaton's name recognition is. He did really well, but the public moves on. He did really well, won the primary for the Republican nomination a couple of years ago, then took on Elizabeth Warren. Did pretty well, but did lose. And he's got a great story, and he's been a regular here, and we'll bring him back through. But he's going to have to increase that name ID tremendously, because nothing against John Deaton. He's a Marine, a successful attorney. But at this point, he's a nobody in the mind of the voters. And a nobody cannot be to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like any business. You know, you have to be out there all the time in
right.
front of the people. You have to keep promoting yourself.
Yes.
You know? And the old saying, you know, as long as you're on the front page of those like National Enquirers and stuff, you're somebody. You know?
Right.
So, not that he wants to be on that, but I'm just metaphorically.
But it beats not being known.
It beats not being known. I remember Dolly Parton was doing a tour with Billy Ray Cyrus, and it was rumors that they were having an affair. So Billy went to see her, and he was talking to her, and he said he felt bad. And she smiled and looked at him. He said, "Why are you smiling? Why are you laughing?" She says, "It sells records, Billy Ray." right? It sells records. It's not true, and it wasn't.
Right.
I mean, think of Kenny Rogers and her. Everyone said they had an affair for years and years, which just wasn't factual, you know. And but it sells records, you know, when you do duets together and stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is you got to be in a public eye.
Yes.
You have to be there. You have to keep promoting yourself. Business is like that. Politics is like that. And you're like that. You know that. That's your business.
Yes.
You have to touch the people all the time. You got to, out of sight is out of mind.
Yes, you're right. 100%. 508-996-0.